There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Life is full of awesome what ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out of pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
The following is a presentation of the Four Center podcast feed.
From the center of the galaxy, this is the Four Center podcast feed. I'm Joseph Scrimshaw.
I'm Ken Napsa.
And this is the Clone Wars Report. Oh, the Clone Wars Report, where Mario jumps on the flag at the highest point to get the most points.
Oh, yes.
If you're just tuning in for the first time, we have been doing little kind of breaking news sounds, but it's now just evolved. It's natural.
It's my year. I'm 20 years out of my last improv session, so I need to go refresh maybe at the LA Connection.
That's the way all improv scenes end, or should.
They say an improv is, you know more than anyone, Joseph. First instincts are usually correct. Not for me anymore.
Third or fourth instinct. Yeah, you got to dig for those instincts. Yes. That's what instincts are about, right? Well, we are having a ton of fun discussing Clone Wars. This is the end of the first arc of the seventh season, the fourth episode. How's that for numbers? It's called...
You just sounded very biblical.
It is. It's the end times. Anyway, because of this Clone Wars, it can't be the end times because it's called Unfinished Business.
That's right.
The end times, it would be called Finished Business. Forever. Done. Anyway, it is called Unfinished Business. Last week's episode was On the Wings of Kyrodax. Another great song, Unfinished Business. Yeah. Is that a Rush song? Who sings Unfinished Business?
It almost sounds like Westerberg and the Replacements' Unsatisfied. I have so much unfinished business. Boombox overhead. Yeah.
Little Tommy Waits there.
Unfinished business. I do like Rush getting in there too. Today's Echo. Okay, never mind.
It's a very musical episode of the Clone Wars Report. We like to start by talking about when we watched it. Did you wait for midnight this week?
I'm trying to remember. It's been
There's been a lot going on in the world.
We're so happy you're listening, probably from the safety of your own fallout shelter. But I didn't watch till late Friday night.
Okay.
And it was one of those like, oh, don't mind if I do. I forgot I had
a little treat.
Yeah.
You can have a little Clone Wars as a treat. Yeah, I stayed up late on Thursday, the release date, into Friday and watched it. And that was really, really fun. I enjoyed it. I was a little tired. And then my wife, Sarah, was behind. She hadn't seen On the Wings of Kyrdak. So on Saturday morning, we had a little marathon, a little two-episode marathon, which was really great. And it was really... It was fun to see it through fresh eyes because I really enjoyed it. But then for some reason, this particular episode really set off a lot of light bulbs for Sarah where she was really excited by thinking about like, oh, but that relates to this and this relates to this element. And I think that's one of the great strengths of Clone Wars, why people love it so much is it has all these just sort of surface level delights, but it is so important to Star Wars canon.
Right.
And is so much a part of the poetry of Star Wars that it was great to just watch my wife have a Star Wars poetry moment.
It's beautiful.
Yeah. So what was your overall reaction to Unfinished Business?
I really love this episode because I think I've really enjoyed this arc. And I considered it a great wrap-up to the arc. And looking back at all the Clone Wars arcs that pop up during the show, I think this is one of my favorites. And I'm trying to, you know, is it just because it's so fresh? Because I got to watch this in a new way. We keep talking about being able to watch this as part of the Star Wars community. I don't know quite yet, but it was a tremendously satisfying arc. I thought this was a real touching ending. Wonderfully action-packed. We're going to obviously discuss that. And it's nice knowing season 7, which again, a lot of this, especially Bad Batch, based on stuff already created, but nice to know that this was as good, if not better, than the Clone Wars has ever been, generally speaking.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like, we're going to give you a final season. It's Will and Grace reunion. we'll get 6 episodes out of it and we'll move on, but
yes,
it's been great.
I think that's a great point. It definitely has the feeling of exactly what it is, a continuation rather than a reboot.
Yeah.
And that's a great feeling. I think for me, what I liked about this is just this episode and the whole arc is that you could so feel its place in the time of Star Wars history, Star Wars canon. Mm-hmm. The whole thing was so bittersweet.
Yeah.
Like it was a victory, but there's so many things about it that pointed towards wariness of how long everybody's been doing this and just little subtle reminders of like, cool, the Republic got an axis back.
Yeah.
Not gonna matter to anyone. Yeah. Cool. Echo joined the Bad Batch. How soon and when did they die? You know, and it could be forever, but you know what I'm saying. You get that sense of it's bittersweet from the character's perspective in many ways. There's this whole moral of trust. You get
right.
Obi-Wan is very calm and playful and has a sense of trust in Anakin. And then we get to see that moment that we will, of course, talk about where like Obi-Wan, you can't have trust in Anakin and you don't know that yet. But we do. Like there's so much about it that is beautifully bittersweet.
I'm not saying you are, but I love that you're kind of painting the picture that there's some Rachel Dratch, Debbie Downer character. Oh, the Bad Batch. Yeah, but how long are they going to live?
Exactly. Yeah, it's a victory.
But it's true.
A Pyrrhic victory, says Debbie Downer. That theme about trust has, like, this actual episode is set up. So the heroes kind of win. Everything works out with Echo. They defeat all the droids, and that's halfway through the episode. And then dark stuff happens.
Yeah.
And it still is a victory, but nowhere near as great as it might have felt in the middle of the Clone Wars when doom isn't right around the corner.
Right. Got that approaching doom. Never a good thing.
Yeah, approaching doom.
As
approaching
I look outside doom. Of our studio window at gray clouds and a lot more coming our way.
It's just a little bit of Los Angeles catching up on that whole rain thing, as we should do every once in a while. My other overall thing, and we will talk about in detail, is I just absolutely in love with Mace Windu's speech. Like,
it's really great. Yeah.
One of my favorite things in all of Clone Wars, mm-hmm. without exaggeration. Want a cross stitch of the whole thing to go along with the cross stitch that my wife's going to make me of one of the lines from Mandalorian. My cross stitch list is getting long. Any other overall reactions before we dive into some of the themes?
I think some of it is tied into the themes. I do have some points, but now I'm looking at, I'm more prepared than ever this week because you and I have had to watch a doc, a movie, a Clone Wars, and a book, read a book. And I have so many notes, I've separated it, so I feel more prepared. But overall, I really, really excited to dive in because this is just a great mix of action and what we want from the Clone Wars. Ooh, that means something.
Okay, great. Let's dive into the theme. So as we talked about over this whole arc, there is a real theme of the organic versus the mechanical, a longstanding theme in Star Wars, an ongoing one. This episode being the end of the arc felt to me like this real definitive triumph of the organic over the mechanical, where we see them kind of pitted against each other. And even the very beginning of this arc is, well, they got these algorithms and they have, basically perverted and subjected Echo's organic nature to being a successful machine in all this.
Right.
And there are so many great ways that the organic triumphs over the mechanical in this. We got Echo actually successfully turning the tables on the algorithm and Trench. And there's, that's the tension of the episode, that doubt that he proves them totally wrong of like, nope, I can take this system that I was abused and suppressed by and basically use it in my own organic flowing powerful way.
Right. Yeah. No, keep going. I'm looking at your list.
Okay, good. Just wanted to make sure that you had room to speak. So I wasn't and then this.
I realized I started and then I was like, no, keep going.
There's the great discussion in this episode about trusting algorithms versus trusting people. In particular, we get Tech. Interesting that it's Tech who is really concerned that they were in his brain. I don't think he can be trusted. It doesn't seem like a doubting of Echo's character. Mm. It seems like Tech has that fear of like, oh, they were in his brain. They kind of own him now.
Yeah.
He's going to betray us against his will, probably.
Yeah, and there's a lot of I understand where Tech's coming from, and that was what's part of the fun part of some of the where trust comes from and what you have to overcome to give that trust. There's a lot of evidence probably in his time in the Clone Wars where Tech's like, no, we shouldn't, and doesn't this make sense? And Star Wars sometimes is about the spirit rising above Tech stuff too, literally. So I like that. But there was a lot of great little trust moments and where trust comes from.
Yeah, and we'll get to the moral of the episode there. But even with Trench, where this idea of like he has the algorithm, but then he still has his backup plan, which is total annihilation. Which is a great
lip curl.
Yeah, he could have twirled his mustache if one half of it was not made out of metal.
Right.
So I just thought there's that really that idea of we can use the algorithms to subvert the algorithms themselves and lots of algorithms versus people stuff. I thought it was really interesting to think about Echo's actual background. It seems to me like a triumph over the rigid and mechanical for him to realize that he belongs with the Bad Batch, belongs with Clone 99, that whole, bittersweet where Rex seems to know he has to let him go and you're following your own path is not, I like that it's not Hunter saying you're damaged, they won't accept you, of just like, You're in a place to follow a really unique and specific path of your own, and that's kind of what we're about. And to contrast that with where Echo gets his name, is that he was the clone who was really rigid and obsessed with orders and repeated them. So then his clone friends named him Echo as a teasing joke because he always echoed the orders. It was interesting to me that that's where this specific clone. Like, this would have been a great arc if it was Fives.
Yeah.
I know it can't be timeline-wise. But the specific that it starts with the clone who got his name from being overly rigid and repeating orders.
Yeah.
Because he was such a follow-the-rules guy to you're now a totally unique individual who hasn't – nobody else has had your experience.
I love what it says about not just growth, but the things that happen to you there's just straight out trauma that Echo's gone through. There's straight up trauma. And it's an animated show. Don't want to put anyone else's real world trauma on par with this, but it's just a story way to show you, like, you for better or worse, you are who you are, and you can choose to take that forward and grow from it. As hard as it is, I think there's still things that Echo will be dealing with going forward. But I thought that was really powerful to be like, you know, you are different, and now you get to own it. Celebrate that and grow from that.
And specifically that it's really that both Hunter and Rex presented to him as his choice.
As his choice, yes.
And that's the choice that he makes. Last thing, and just the idea of the triumph of the organic over the mechanical, is the extra high, even for Clone Wars, droid death count,
mm-hmm.
that we are reminded of that multiple times by the Mace's amazing murder count of the droids, by Hunter literally saying, "I feel sorry for the droids," when Wrecker starts wrecking them. The droid begging, "Not in my face, not in my face." It's every bit by itself is just like, yeah, cool. But you start to put it together, and this is a empathy for the droids. Their mass destruction. And even in Mace's speech, he's like, "Droids, make a different choice.
Yep.
Get yourself reprogrammed for something better." But and even that is the rigid versus the organic versus free will.
We've seen in this modern era of Star Wars, and I wouldn't put Clone Wars, the first few seasons, in that modern era, if that makes sense, right?
Yeah.
It was all before. This is the first Clone Wars in the modern era of Star Wars, and it all syncs up to what we've seen in Solo, what we've read in Last Shot, what we've kind of, even in Rise of Skywalker, have dealt with, of hey, fandom, you even grew up in the 80s, you love 3P and R2-D2, but you didn't treat the rest of the droids. You know, but remember a gonk droid in Jabba's palace is screaming while getting tortured, and that haunted me as a kid.
Oh, yeah, it's burning little feet. Yeah.
So to play with that even now, and I was the Wrecker scene with the droid begging for mercy. Wrecker's not a Jedi. It kind of got me to like, oh, God. Oh. So, yeah, it was very, very a Mace for Mace's speech to just the visual of all the dead droids. It's still destruction, you know? It's still
there. Yeah. Anything else specifically jump out for you in this kind of organic versus mechanical conversation we've been having?
No, going back to the Echo stuff, I like it's you know, like you were touching upon there, just it's the reversal of Trench's own game. And I like, there's something to me interesting about, I think it's great to step outside the box, but how you step outside the box is also a little bit of who you are. So when you step out the box and your plan is annihilation, you know, you're not thinking it through, you know, you're going down some dark paths. So that's actually one of my favorite moments.
Yeah, that in the concept of a bomb so large that it would destroy most of the planet.
Yeah.
Where he was like, well, I can't lose the planet,
but
I can blow it up because at least I'll kill a bunch of Jedi and clones and mission accomplished after a fashion. Another idea that I thought was really present is the question of who are the Jedi?
Very much so.
So we got Mace's big speech, obviously, which is contrasted by Anakin's murder of Trench. But then we have the specific debate, all the tactics of the algorithm and Trench. And even Echo, up to a point, are caught up in, as Trench says, the Jedi are arrogant and predictable. And I feel like the episode is kind of offering us to play with those ideas of, are they arrogant and predictable?
Yeah, not necessarily yeah to that, but yeah to this great question. If we want to start there, my thought on...
Arrogant and desperate, I think is what he said,
desperate and definitely predictable. I likened it. I thought back to was it Dark Knight, where Joker and Batman, and this is the age old struggle with our superheroes, right?
Yeah.
It's just like, you've got to follow a code. I don't have to. You're going to always lose, or I'm going to challenge you. It's one of the themes I do love in that particular movie. And I look at the Jedi, and this will feed into the Anakin conversation of just being at war with your own code. But there's ways to do the code. So I like that. Trench, in a way, was just kind of not comparing Trench to Joker, but just
total annihilation.
Yeah, total annihilation.
Some Walrus people just want to see the world burn.
Exactly. Because he's not, I think he might be right-ish on the arrogant thing. That's a different conversation that he and Yoda can have.
Yeah.
But just from before, he's not necessarily wrong. The reason at the beginning of this arc, Mason, Anakin are like, we keep getting our butts kicked.
Yeah.
There's something you're not doing. You are predictable because you probably have to be at times.
Yeah.
And Anakin would have some thoughts on that. So
yeah,
I like that part.
And the idea that Trench would believe the algorithm suggesting send all of the battle droids there because the Jedi would be so cocky as to think
we can knock it out.
We'll just take care of it.
Yeah.
That's really telling and interesting. Obviously, for me, Mace's big speech, the reason I love it is just like, it's so the Jedi way. Mm-hmm. And sometimes when people talk about Mace, you know, Samuel L. Jackson plays him beautifully, but with a lot of like grim looks on his face and a lot of the party's over and a lot of an attitude of ass kicking.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if you go into expanded lore, he, you know, his lightsaber style was Vapod, which was the one that danced with the darkness, which is why he was able to defeat. You know, there's a lot about Mace that has always been supportive of people who like the gray Jedi idea, who like the idea that a Jedi can have a little darkness.
Yeah.
As a treat. and this was so just a reminder of like, no, Mace is a Jedi. That little speech is the Jedi way of like...
Mm-hmm.
We've done this thousands and thousands of times. I've slaughtered 100,000 of you. I would rather not. Mm. I am asking you to make a different choice.
Yeah.
And it really revealed the Jedi philosophy that I like to think about for the Clone Wars is that they think they are defending.
Yeah.
Because he puts it on the droids. He said, can you be reprogrammed to do something other than spread, I think, violence and chaos?
Mm-hmm.
But just by explicitly saying, you're the attacker, it gets into Mace's mindset that I'm a defender.
Yeah.
I'm not, you know, I don't want to be a warrior, but since you're attacking, I'll defend.
Mm-hmm.
So there's so much about his speech that I love just from flavor and from context. But more than anything is because it's kind of, this is who the Jedi want to be ideally.
Yeah. It is, perhaps, I put this down as the best example in the Clone Wars and maybe all of Star Wars of a good Jedi being a good Jedi.
Yeah.
And there's going to be other little examples along the way people can throw out. But I'll go to one of my all-time favorite scenes is the Battlefront 2 sequence with Luke Skywalker, the choice to be better, all that kind of stuff. I just really love that it's just so plainly stated. It got me to think, and we've talked about this stuff before, but I love when stuff kind of just hits your brain in a simple, direct, here's what it is. I've been a fan now all my life. During this sequence, I thought, isn't it so great, funny, and weird that the Jedi weapon can only really be used when in these particular fights when fired upon? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Just so simple. And again, we've had these discussions time and time again, but it just, in that moment, it really highlighted that for me.
Yeah.
And that this can't be done before every battle, can't be done before every speech. But yes, It drove home the fact that Mace is, I've had some bosses like this. So for Mace is perhaps a better boss than this guy, where they were real hard. They were kind of, you didn't want them around. I hated when they showed up. But after I left the job, I had dinner with him one time, and I just told him, I said, you know, and he was the only one to give me a promotion when no one else would for a job that I didn't have a one specific qualification that they always held on to.
Okay.
And I was like, you know, I always respected that, but the toughest problem with you was I always knew you were right, even though I wanted to fight you. And I see Mace as that all through the prequel series. He's right about a lot. He's right about if we go this way, I think we should do this. We should probably, but people, he's a little standoffish. He's a little gruff. He's a very Samuel L. Jackson, one half of him, you know? So it all comes down to this moment. Just remind him of just like, no, this is the right thing. This is how I feel and how you should react.
Yeah.
I'll give you the choice. Anyways, I'll cut my monologue off.
No, keep going.
I really did. It worked as humor.
Yeah. That look from Obi-Wan sold it.
Great.
So great of like, okay, this is new.
Worked from a humor standpoint, but it's a big moment in Star Wars. I really do believe it.
Yeah. I think that's part of what I liked about it too is I don't think Mace has been doing this, you know, every battle.
Right.
I think this is, I am getting so tired myself of the repetition of this.
Yeah.
And like, couldn't we all just make a different choice? Really adds to, like, I think that's why Obi-Wan's like, what is this? This is new from Mace. But it adds to, this war has been going on for so long where Mace is like, I have killed 100,000 thousand of you.
I love
Don't it. You just want to make a different choice? Because come on.
And this is where if Trench was listening, and maybe was on security camera, she'd be like, see, arrogant. And I'd say, well, you know, and you can back it up. It's not arrogance, an old sports term sometimes, or sports phrase, you know, but I like your take on it better of just him going, I've been doing this is enough.
Yeah.
I'm going to do this. I don't want to do this.
I don't want to do this. And Obi-Wan's little button up. Well, it was a nice try. Anakin's murder of Trench then is... we were talking about this big picture theme of who are the Jedi really. If we look at Mace's speech as this is who the Jedi want to be ideally, saying, hey, we don't want to fight, but if you're going to choose, I will defend. Trench thinks he's got the drop on the Jedi because he thinks that they are predictable and arrogant, and he thinks he has their total profile and thinks he's totally safe. And Anakin surprises him by not behaving like a Jedi, I think.
Yeah.
How did you take Anakin's handling of Trench?
I'll tell you how I took it. I don't think you're wrong, and I'm not saying this is a debate. I think there's a little wrinkle in there that he could say he was. I was acting out of defense.
On a technicality.
Uh-huh. And that's what I love about it, because that is only going to fuel Anakin later in his defense of any of his actions. He can find a way to justify it, and justifications can sometimes be the death of you, can sometimes bring you down if you're not being honest with yourself and not seeing what's going on. I thought it was played well. I thought the animation on his face.
Oh, my God, those doors open and you were like, oh, that Anakin's back. Because we've been talking a lot about how he's seen his own rashness in Rex. He's was kind of given this great pep talk by Padme at the beginning. And something's happening, because he was so calm and peaceful and truly Jedi-like this arc until that door opened, and damn.
And this ongoing debate that he's having with himself and having with others, and Palpatine's fueling it without a doubt. It's interesting to me that he, you know, just in from some point of view, we could end all of this. We could end all of this. And again, the technicality is he chops off his cybernetic arms. He's got a lightsaber to his neck, and that might have been it. You could say he wasn't going to kill him. You could say he wasn't going to do that. It doesn't matter. He took his little electric cane out and poked Anakin, and now you're dead.
Yeah.
But it was the way he killed him, too, right through the heart, and no remorse.
It was extremely Vader-like in the blocking, right?
Absolutely.
Of just like, who cares?
Yeah.
He didn't wrestle with it. And he knew that nobody was watching.
Yeah.
And it felt like he made that decision before he entered the room, because he could have, you know, used the Force to pull the cane away. He could have cut that hand off. He had a lot of options.
Yeah.
He chose to do that.
Yeah.
Right?
I love what you said there. He walked in thinking, you know, he got in that batter's box and I'm swinging at the first pitch. And it showed. It was a great sequence. And it caught me off guard.
Yeah. Caught me off guard too. Yeah.
Right through the heart.
Yeah. And we're going to talk about it in a little bit more detail when we kind of go through the episode beat by beat in the second half. But I think that was just such a great pairing with Mace's speech, with Anakin really playing with the definition of what a Jedi is himself, and using Trench's sort of rigid definition of the Jedi is basically a tool to defeat him.
Yeah.
Because you think you can manipulate me, and I'm by that classic superhero. Mm-hmm. You won't do this. You won't do that. Like, surprise, I will.
Yeah.
You got no power over me. So those were the big ideas I liked in this questioning of the Jedi. Let's move on to the moral of the episode. Trust placed in another is trust earned.
Yeah.
How did you feel about that one?
I felt I loved it. And when you read the article, when you read the headline, always read more than the headline is what I'm saying. Now, It's so great, works on the surface, you know, but then I really thought of a lot of examples, and we'll talk more of it, of just where trust comes from.
Yeah.
And what trust can do to that person when you put trust in them, whether they're an employee, a partner, a friend, you know, a stranger, you know. And I thought trust areas to focus on. I really focused on Rex. No doubt Rex is going to trust him, but
yeah.
I'm sure Rex is hearing tech and going, yeah, that might thing, and that might be it. And then Rex has the moment in the beginning, I don't think you're ready, which is probably not wrong, but knowing that, all right, I have to let you go. I have to trust you. I thought that was my favorite example of trust in this episode, and one that can be taken into real life.
Yeah.
We all want trust, but sometimes it's just important to look around to see who needs your trust.
Yeah, yeah. And that idea of if Rex, that it's reciprocal, right? And mm-hmm. that if Rex had not trusted Echo, then Echo would not have been able to do the things that he was doing. Echo would not have felt, you know, the support, and Rex would not have got that trust back.
Yeah.
And I think it speaks to the whole arc with the amount of Rex and Rex learning to work with Clone Force 99, Clone Force 99 learning to trust Regs, which it didn't seem like they developed this respect for Rex and this respect for the Jedi mm-hmm. via Anakin and all that stuff. I feel like it is a nice connection to a larger Star Wars theme of that we are all connected.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and trusting kind of one part of the organism is hopefully trusting a way to trust in yourself as well.
Yeah. And having to give the trust. The example I like too, just the unspoken trust that's always present of Anakin's like, cool, just send all the droids to Mason and Obi-Wan. But I trust they'll get the job done. And Obi-Wan kind of has, even maybe for better or worse, I trust Anakin. Whatever crazy plan's going on, we'll handle it.
Yeah, that was the dark side of the trust, because this is one of those, it's easy to say, right?
Right.
And it is the pure glowing light thing to do in real life is to trust a person.
Mm-hmm.
It will encourage them to do their best. They will reciprocate it. So they trust you. It's mm-hmm. all great, except for sometimes people make bad choices and disappoint you, and it is dangerous to trust them. And I liked that. If you wanted to get into those weeds, Obi-Wan felt like, I'm in a different episode of Clone Wars than Anakin, and I don't know it, right? He's like, Anakin, he jumped off and he's taking down all those droids himself. Did he jump off a cliff again? Did he do something weird and crazy? Yeah, he murdered.
Yeah.
Out of anger and choice. And Obi-Wan doesn't know, but he has such trust in Anakin, and Anakin, in my opinion, in the arc of Star Wars storytelling, is letting him down, and Obi-Wan doesn't know yet.
I think it's great. What do you think that conversation was like on a troop transport back up? How'd you kill Trench? How'd that go down?
Yeah, and I feel like Obi-Wan is, from a certain point of viewing himself, toward the end of the Clone Wars, where we've talked about this with Padme, like, he knows. But I think he's letting himself think they're attracted to one another and they care about one another. Like I cared about Satine, but I kept that within bounds. And I'm sure Anakin is too. And I know Anakin can go off half cocked. And I know he hasn't addressed his childhood as much. So when we encounter things like the Zygerian slavers, he loses it a little bit, but I trust him. He's a good man. And I think Obi-Wan isn't letting himself see the possibility of how many lines Anakin is letting himself cross and what kind of danger that is presenting for Anakin.
That's a great discussion point, maybe even for another time, but the idea of the old adage of when someone shows you who they are, that's who they are, that's who it is, take it, believe them. I love that string of Obi-Wan just kind of like going, yeah. But even the point blank knowing, Anakin's smooching with Padme, and that's against the rules, even.
Yeah.
And I'm Obi-Wan, the rule guy, but.
Yeah.
It's interesting.
Just hand holding.
They're just going out for a phosphate at Dex's.
Yeah, it's just a malted at Dex's Diner. No problem. We always like to talk in the first half when we're looking at big picture stuff, too, about the action. So much of the Clone Wars is the action. Did you have favorite action moments in this episode?
Give me them Y-Wings.
Yeah, I thought so.
Yeah. Right?
The classic Ralph McQuarrie.
Oh, yeah, I love
illustration
them Y-Wings.
Come to life.
Good to see him. I just like a good squadron of bombers flying into action and shooting. I will say, though, what does this say about me? I did list, just so not the obvious, I did like Anakin versus Trench.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that was a great moment of action because when he speared him mercilessly through the heart.
And even right before with some of the droids, I think we've seen a lot of Anakin doing bad things to droids, even in the prequel movies, Clone Wars. It was the most, and this was a sequence done before Rogue One, but it was the most Vader in the hallway I've seen in a while, at least in my memory.
It was a great action moment just by itself, but it was a great storytelling through action, too. Yep. Because you sometimes, in the Clone Wars, it can be like, come on, Jedi, you're just deflecting shots while the clones are doing most of the work. Like, get out there and throw some stuff.
Yeah.
And I think it played into all those themes to have Anakin walk in and go, I'm not holding anything back. I'm not slowly taking apart. Just bye. Just going to throw you into a wall.
Yep.
You're done.
What it goes.
It really felt, it added to making it feel like a choice of like, I am not holding myself back.
Yeah.
I'm the chosen one MFers. Bam, bam, bam. You're done. You're gone.
I wish you would have said that. I'm the chosen one. Wow, the Clone Wars got weird. To build off what you said and build off what we were saying earlier, like my very simple, like, hey, lightsabers are used. And yeah, what you always have is force powers with you. And to use them in any way, shape, or form as a Jedi is a big choice.
Yeah.
Even if it's little effort. You have to consciously go, I'm going to press the X button.
Yeah.
And for Anakin just to walk in, like you said, first pitch, I'm swinging. He's getting in there, and he's like, bang, bang. Like,
You're done. I'm just talking to Trench now.
Yeah. That's all. I did like that, but yeah. Give him them Y-wings.
Those Y-wings are great. Yeah. There's one shot of Mace where his body language in his strikes really matched Samuel L. Jackson's actual fighting, like kind of this big torso arc with his swing.
Yeah.
I just really appreciated that little detail. But I think my favorite thing was Crossfire's weird little reflecting discs. And like it was, like I said, a treat to watch it with my wife. She obviously does enjoy the action, but like that moment in particular, she's like, whoa, wow. And it was really fun to have that moment of like, yeah, there's creative ways to take down droids. And that was just Star Wars cool.
It was because he's flipping those things on the wall and I'm thinking they're going to explode.
Yeah, right? Little explosives. No. Little.
Then I thought, oh, no, it's going to be like an electric pulse or something, you know,
yep.
And just to be like, I get to show my superhero power. And he's had some great moments already.
Yeah.
But at the end to be like, boop, boop, and even have Wrecker be like, oh.
Wrecker was great, as always. But, yep, so much so much violence and heart to enjoy in this episode of Clone Wars. We have some unfinished business with Unfinished Business, so we will be back in just a moment.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at UH1.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
And we are back to finish our business with unfinished business. In this second half, we like to kind of walk through the episode in order and see if there are any other details that we want to dive into or dig into a little bit more. So right at the beginning, we get Echo pitching his plan to infiltrate the ship and send false battle plans. Mace is immediately into it.
Yeah.
He's like, yeah, I want to hear this. And we learn that Tech doesn't trust Echo. There was a line that I read on the Wikipedia summary that I read. And it was like, oh, man, I missed that. And then I watched it, and that line wasn't there. So I assume that this must be a line from the animatic. But I really appreciated the line. I'm paraphrasing, but apparently Obi-Wan said, like, well, aren't they going to know that you escaped from Skako Minor? And Echo said, no, all Wat Tambor cares about is his bottom line, and he's going to not want to let the Separatists know that he lost his money that I represent.
Oh, yeah, that's interesting.
Which I really appreciated, because as you and I were talking last week, I really took Wat Tambor's line of, like, we must find a way to recoup our losses, is that Wat Tambor was going to do something in this arc to try to make money off of his violation of Echo.
Yeah.
And that line sort of completes that thread of, oh, that's why the rest of the Separatists don't suspect that the algorithm is busted, because Wat Tambor is like, it will make my stocks go down if I tell them.
Yeah, that's interesting. That's interesting, because I think how this scene really worked is, even I had trouble trusting Echo as a fan. And because it was so well set up last week, you know, Wat Tambor saying that, you and I talked about it, but the look in Echo's face, like, whoa, what's going on? I think if that had been in there, that I think that's a great line and a great, just kind of exposing the truth of Separatists and Wat Tambor and that side of that conversation. But that would have might have taken just enough tension out for me.
Yeah, it might have lowered the stakes a little bit too much.
For me, just in getting wrapped up in the fun of the story.
Yeah.
But I think that's also an interesting line that I don't mind when things are hit over the head on.
Yeah.
Here's part of why the Separatists are bad.
Yeah. So for you, did you really feel like at the beginning of this episode that something bad might happen with Echo?
I did. And as we said last week, like, I had at this point, I've seen these episodes or the animatics or read some of the summaries over the course of time. I honestly just, with, you know, a lot of things going on in personal life, professional, and the world, had just kind of my mind lost where that was, and I didn't go back and look. So yes, I was expecting the big swerve in this episode.
Yeah.
I'm glad we didn't get it.
Yeah, me too. So with my disappointment in the Wat Tambor follow-up, besides that, I really liked the setup of just, like, this is the basic tension that Echo wants to fix this. And everybody else is like, yeah, I'm really not sure this is gonna work. And I hadn't really thought about it until we got talking, but I like it that it's Tech in particular.
Yeah.
Like, when I first watched it, I've really responded to Tech and really like him. I was like, Tech, you a-hole. Trust him. But now it really makes sense of if he is a little bit more. He's Tech.
Hey, Tech, you a-hole.
And
I want that shirt.
He has, like, the experience of, like, an algorithm is actually a powerful thing. They were in your mind. Don't belittle the power of technological terror.
Don't anyone listening take this as me inserting a thumb in science versus faith or any of those conversations. But I think sometimes there's a great balance, and sometimes there's this good old fashioned spirit of a person. You got to give them a chance to do. It's a baseball day. Baseball has turned into a sport run by algorithms. It's turned into where teams make decisions based on what these computer things tell them live. And I mean, that was part of what the cheating stuff that happened recently. But I'm still a believer of get a guy on a field with a big heart and he might do something you don't expect.
Yeah.
So this kind of spoke to me in that regard too, because you're right. Tech is tech.
Yeah.
And he's not wrong.
Yeah.
I like that it came from Echo 2. It wasn't just, it wasn't like, I'm going to get back. It got a sense of, I need to do this to correct what had happened and to save everyone, myself included, going forward. You know, came from it wasn't a vengeful point of view.
Yeah. And I think, again, paraphrasing, but his line is, you know, I'm going to get in there and control the plans this time for a victory for the Republic. I think there is really they used me and I want to set it right myself. And I'm the only one who can, because this is what it's going to take.
Yes.
Yeah. So it is a big ask. And there's there's a little moment of like Anakin looking on with pride. Like he really likes this idea.
Well, Echo's got to face down that specific trauma. That's pretty powerful for him to be like, yeah, plug me back in.
Yeah. No, that really is like, you know, you could come up with a million different examples, but that's really like, you know, the kids from it going, you know where I want to be? The sewer with as many clowns as possible. That's what it takes.
Let's go to the sewer by the circus.
Let's go to that sewer circus, you know, where all the good things happen. But it is really him facing his fear and his pain to do this, which is really cool. So moving along, then we get Mace, Obi-Wan in the clones, attack the Separatist assembly plant. We get cool shots of the Republic gunships and the droid fighters and Y-Wing Gold Group. The big old Mace speech. We talked about this already a bit, but were you surprised by Mace's speech? Did you see it coming in any way?
I'll go back to seeing the preview, because I think it was in a preview release this week, and I just happened to click on it. So I'll take my goat back to that moment. I even somewhat out of context, I wouldn't say I was surprised. I just think I really enjoyed the use of a Jedi being a Jedi.
Yeah.
Going back to what we were talking about earlier, we can get into details. But yeah, so surprised, not surprised at Mace, but just surprised that this isn't more plainly stated by Jedi and other battles. So I definitely liked it. Yeah.
Yeah. Did you have empathy for the droids in that moment?
I had it more in the Wrecker scene, because it's more in your face.
Not in your face. It's the droid bags. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it might be only because from Mr. Bones to Battlefront 2, you're more exposed to the droids, even watching the Clone Wars over the years. The Roger of it all kind of fades away, and you kind of like these little creatures at times, those weird little design creatures. So, you know, and they're programmed for what they're programmed for. So if there was any option, I guess this more empathy than I would think.
Yeah.
In any other episode of the Clone Wars.
Yeah. I think that there was this moment for me hearing 100,000, just hearing the number and hearing that Mace is using his meditation time to count.
Count what's going on.
Because, I mean, he didn't go down to like, and 72, like he didn't go right down to the number, but still, it was a lot. And to kind of treat them as sentient creatures.
Yes.
That could kind of make a different choice in just the futility of, of course they can't.
Yeah.
You know, they're not in a place to do that.
Yeah.
I have been thinking a lot, because what you're talking about with all the different ways that we get to know the battle droids, of just feeling a little bit more empathy for them, that they are kind of pawns in this whole thing as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think a lot of my empathy from the battle droids come from when you play the officer battle droid in Battlefront 2, and you can place your turret, and then if you leave it, he says, good luck, turret. Oh, poor creatures.
That game just keeps rewarding you.
It really does. So moving on, we get to Echo's big plan to draw. He successfully does draw in all the droids and does the feedback pulse and zaps them all. Mm-hmm. And Trench goes for it because he thinks the Jedi are arrogant. So what did you take from this about kind of Echo versus Trench?
Like I said before, like a good revenge plot that wasn't fueled. This isn't the Man in Black from Princess Bride. You know, what do you do now?
Yeah.
You know, he's actually grown from it there. You know, though, hey, Mandy Patinkin grows from it too, I guess you could say. But I looked at it from that angle. Again, the thought of using stuff against Trench, and even though Trench is outside the box, he's not really outside the box. He's still who he is. Whereas Echo has stepped out of the box and started to grow as a person. So I think that's where I go with the verses on those two.
Yeah.
And just smart move, Echo.
Yeah.
And then part of this just being Wat Tambor and Trench and everyone just kind of using Echo and using him as a piece of property and underestimating that, not even thinking that at one point he could escape, but underestimating what was going on inside there, that a part of it was alive and left, you know?
Yeah, yeah, underestimating his humanity.
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I liked they didn't spend a lot of time on it, but I liked visually that it just looked like Echo was in pain.
Oh,
like that, yeah. It wasn't just scary, but like he's holding his head. And like, you know, whatever this is physically painful, I'm sure, like emotional trauma, but pulling through it, like you're saying, yeah, not for vengeance, but because it's the right thing to do to win this battle and to kind of win his soul back. Mm. Yeah. And I think maybe that's it. That's why I was asking that question the way I was, is that the contrast between Echo being imaginative and hopeful versus Trench just being like, they're arrogant.
Yeah.
I'll use my algorithms and my big bomb and put them in a box and they'll all die. and Echo wanting to make something right. Yeah, yeah. So then we go on to that beat is really fun because it is that moment where for a second, like, the tension that had been set up in the episode about trust, the main conflict, is kind of resolved in Tech says, I guess we could have trusted you. And Echo's like, oh, was there ever any doubt? It almost feels like end credits.
Yeah.
And it's halfway through the episode.
Yep.
Cause then we get the Trench activates the bomb and then Mace and Tech and Echo work together, to disarm the bomb. Mm. What did you think about the whole bomb plot and the way that it was, dismantled?
I as just a plot, it's great fun. Who doesn't love a ticking clock of death? Again, going a little bit of Tech and Echo, but of Tech and Mace working side by side, there's this kind of combination of mind and spirit working together on something and both needing each other in this particular moment, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
The little drama at the end. And just visually, I don't know what it is, especially when I watched it this morning before we recorded. Just the visual thing of Mace just like flipping down buttons.
Yes.
Was really nice to me. Number seven.
Yeah, it was like really visually pleasing. And I really liked, like Echo plugged into the machine, knowing the numbers and the combination with that of Mace and then using this flowing organic thing of the Force. But ray shields have sometimes come up as like this kind of like, the Jedi are screwed. There's a ray shield.
Right.
So it was nice to see the, I'll just use the Force.
Right.
Because sometimes every once in a while, the Jedi feel a little depowered when just like, use the Force. So it was, I was on the verge of like, come on, use, and then, you did. It's great.
Yeah.
And I think combined with that, they don't overplay it, but with Mace continuing to be the sort of paragon of Jedi virtue, classic Jedi sacrifice.
Yeah.
Where he's like, okay, this bomb might blow up half the planet. Obi-Wan, get the clones out of here. And I think he even has that line of, well, if there's any hope to stop it, I got to try.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah.
Like that he is totally willing to sacrifice himself.
Yeah.
And and putting a lot of trust and faith in the team supporting him. So I really liked that element of it. I also really liked the rails.
The rails?
So he takes that elevator down, and then there's those little rails, and he just kind of gently opens them. And then there's another. It's just every time that you actually see rails in dangerous places in Star Wars, I'm like, ooh, interesting.
It's part of a lesson learned. You know, if Mace would have fallen down, there wasn't rails. So let's take rails out of this one.
Exactly. Let's move on to murder. Mm-hmm. Anakin defeats Trench in a way that I consider murder, which we can talk about. It's a Jedi surprise. Mm. We talked about it a little bit, but I want to get into the why. Mm. So the door opens and, it's that Anakin.
Mm-hmm.
What in your mind, when you were watching, what did you think got him to that point?
I think trying to get into his point of view and going back to what you're saying about how this war has been going for a long time, is there any part of his brain that's going just enough? I do like that you point out no one's watching, and hey, what you do when no one's watching might determine your real level of integrity. And not to say that Anakin lacks integrity, but he's definitely conflicted. So he knows all that going in. Knows I'm tired, I'm exhausted, everyone I know might die here. I want to get back to Padme.
Yeah.
I'm so distracted, I don't even know why she was holding her stomach. Is her stomach upset? I'm not sure. It must have been something she ate. I got to talk to 3PO about that. I want to get back. This lump is in front of me with no value to me. This isn't even Dooku. This isn't even Tambor. This is Tambor's general or whatever, you know?
Yeah.
I think all that comes into that walking in going, here we go.
Yeah.
I'm looking for a reason to fight. We've talked about this before. When you have power and how you use power and how you approach situations, focus, determine reality. There you go, Qui-Gon. He was focused on what he wanted to do.
Yeah.
And it's present. It's very clear. Again, the animation this season's been crisp. We've been talking about how great it is. He walked into that scene and you're like, ew.
Yeah.
But I was still surprised.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Yeah, because he's been in such a, I think, as we've talked about, a more peaceful trajectory, partially because of seeing himself in Rex, getting that great conversation with Padme. But my mind went to the Citadel arc,
mm-hmm.
where he has that conversation with Tarkin, where Tarkin's like, I don't think the Jedi go far enough. And he's like, I think you have a point. And I love it because there's this element of philosophy where Anakin can think, well, Trench in particular is this great strategist, mm-hmm. and he's been a thorn in our side multiple times.
Yeah.
We've suffered losses to him.
Yeah.
Why don't we just end him? Or are we going to just keep having this battle again and again? So you can almost see this discussion point.
Yeah.
Of are the Jedi willing to go far enough? Are we causing more harm by just having five more world spanning battles with this guy, or should we just take this guy out?
Mm.
But so you can start to have that sort of almost philosophical and mm-hmm. tactical discussion. And you can get that with, when Trench starts saying, he says, look, well, if I lose this planet, Dooku will murder me.
Mm.
And then Anakin specifically says, interrupts him from saying, you're a Jedi, you know. Well, he says, you know, and you think I won't. Like, you're a Jedi, you're nobility. And he's going to go on a long speech about Jedi philosophy and having Anakin say, "What you know, I don't have those weaknesses. And hacking all three of his arms off. It's got this great dance between a legitimate discussion of, you know, when do we have to accept that we do have to defeat our enemies, or they're just going to keep coming back and causing more pain, versus, you're keeping me from my wife. You're hurting my friends. I'm afraid of losing Obi-Wan. And so it's coming from all of these, what does Anakin need emotionally? And it feels good to give in to the anger and just effing kill him.
I'm so glad you brought up the Citadel arc. I think it's, hey, maybe we do it on a Star Wars ranked, or we do a Clone Wars report down the line of the key moments in the Clone Wars that are on that pathway to Vader.
Yeah.
And that's one of the just very open, it's Tarkin. It's Anakin. You guys are going to have a long partnership together until it ends. I love Lucino's Tarkin book. Has those great moments of Tarkin kind of going, I got a sense this cape guy I've met before. So that's one of the key scenes. But it goes, you know, even as you've been saying, it goes beyond just the surface level. I want this, and I think it is. So I love this scene, too. It is deliciously complicated.
Yeah.
Because along the way, I think you could justify it. Especially, again, trying to get inside Anakin's head, just looking at this as a story. You could justify it. You could doubt it. And I want it to be wonderfully murky. And it's not gray area. It's not gray Jedi. It's just this, like, I think at the end, I said there's a clear lack of remorse. There was no second thought. But also, is he in his head? I'm not saying this was present in the episode, but yeah. I'm just having fun climbing into the character of Anakin. Is there any thought of his head that's walking away going, well, he poked me. It was a righteous kill.
Yeah, it was self-defense.
I don't need to feel I kept with the code. And yeah. This is how we should do it.
Yeah, I warned him. I disarmed him by cutting off three of his arms.
Yeah. Told him it was coming.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's dangerous.
But, yeah, and I think that's great. Yes, that's a great point of like, yeah, I don't know the episode necessarily presenting that, but that's great to have fun with of how much we can lie to ourselves. Mm-hmm. You're like, I'm a good person,
yeah.
But I did this thing. That's a bad thing, but I'm a good person, right? But let's not look too much.
Joseph, last week I stayed at a hotel and I stole a roll of toilet paper on the way out. I think I'm a good person,
yeah.
But I don't know anymore.
Yeah, I mean, well, I think it matters why you stole the toilet paper. No, I do. I really like that. I had a great conversation with my wife about it as well. That I like this story of in Star Wars of with the Jedi in particular of it does matter what you do, but it also matters why.
Mm-hmm.
Like you contrast Anakin's anger. Trench in the way he acts from just like the mood of Obi-Wan when he takes Grievous out. Like that's Obi-Wan's mission. They've decided Grievous needs to be taken out and Obi-Wan is doing his job. It's not about his own personal anger. And you get this sense with Anakin that's like, you've taken enough from me. You know, you've hurt enough people that I care about. I want to kill you.
Yeah.
In to have him even go like, yeah, I want to do what Dooku would do.
Right.
Is like
aligning with him. Yeah.
Yeah. Like what makes you think I won't kill you? Mm-hmm. Just like Dooku would is like a little bit of already like getting to be like, hey, it was just presented. Will you do what the Sith do? And he's like, yeah, I will.
Which is, it's wonderful. It's wonderful to play with this idea, getting inside Anakin's mind later on down the line. You know, clearly before he turns, he kills Dooku. But is there along the way of just like, you know, Qui-Gon to Dooku, Quinlan Voss, any of those Jedi we always love talking about here in Force Center that like, you know, they weren't wrong about some things for have Anakin can, at any point in his brain to be like, does he acknowledge that he just, you know, did something like Dooku would have done. Does he ever connect it? And does he connect it and feel happy? Connect it and be like, well, he had it coming? Or connect it and be like, I kind of always thought that. I don't know. I can think of not present in the episode, but great part of that tapestry of on the road to Vader.
Yeah. But I think your point about him lying to himself is great, because the more I think about it, I feel like this scene is a great connection to Revenge of the Sith when he's clearly going down the dark path. No moral ambiguity. Don't slaughter younglings, right? But in those scenes on Mustafar, he's consumed by the dark side, but he is still kind of BSing himself and Obi-Wan.
Totally.
That he had rational, and you can see that connection of like, what? Trench was a threat, and I eliminated the threat, and I saved everybody. What?
Yeah.
And it kind of has a little bit of a rhythm with that, like, no, I'll overthrow the Empire and then we'll control everything. You and I, Padme, and everything will be the way it should be. Like, he's rationalizing a little bit, even while he is in the midst of being utterly consumed by the dark side. And you can see the beginning of some rationalization of his actions.
And putting him at Dooku's neck with the two blades and him, you know, and Hayden plays that at times. I think he plays it he's a little young in that scene. If you like, I shouldn't do this. And how does that connect with this moment? I think it does, because he's not by himself and he's got his new father figure in front of him.
Yeah.
And I think there should be some vulnerability. I think there should be Anakin in his mind going, I just recently killed Trench. This is the same thing, right?
Yeah.
No.
And even more with Dooku.
Dad guy? What do you think?
Yeah. And he so knows it's revenge.
Yeah.
That's the thing with Dooku is like, he knows. He knows if he does this, that's what it's about.
And hey, by the way, you know, the next hotel I go to and I steal toilet paper, am I thinking, well, the first one was okay, the second one's a problem. Is Anakin sitting there going, Trench was easy?
Just when Dooku, you have that toilet paper in your hand, think, would Dooku steal this toilet paper?
What would Dooku do with the toilet paper? But, you know, the second time, the first kills you know, hardest, James.
Yeah.
Not the second one, right? Does he have any? Yeah. Is he having any doubt? Is he having any doubt? He was a Jedi. He might have been, and the Separatists might be something good. I don't know. I love playing around with this idea.
Yeah, it's great stuff.
Yeah.
My last thought on this is I like the beginning of the arc to the end of the arc where Padme says in a playful way when they have their fun conversation of like, I thought the siege would be faster. And she's like, you know what that word siege means? Like, and she's like, you just thought you would go in and real quickly take care of everything. He's like, yeah, I did. And it has this fun, adventurous, powerful Anakin jumping in. So you have that on one end. And then here you have on the other end of like, yeah, I am ending it.
Yeah.
And I can.
Yeah.
And it goes from this playful, loving moment with Padme to killing the walrus man. Not literal walrus man. Yeah. I know. And then the twitching is terrible and beautiful.
Yes.
When he dies.
Yes.
All the way.
Yes.
Moving on towards the end of the episode, that great line from Kenobi of like, you've got some medals coming your way. So casual, thrown over his shoulder. And then, of course, Echo joins the Bad Batch. How did you feel about that ending? Do you want to know the story, the rest of the story of Clone Force 99, all that?
100%. I don't think it will happen. This isn't me saying this is a Disney Plus series coming our way or rumors of it, but wouldn't it be fun? About a year or two into the G.I. Joe comic book run, they launched a series called G.I. Joe Special Missions. Okay? So I want Bad Batch Special Missions. And that way you can go back into the events that we already know.
Because
we haven't seen them do stuff, right? So they're out there. I don't know how long they've been formed, but this, you know, Clone Troop 99's been doing some stuff. So give me a short, limited series, Bad Batch Special Missions. And you can have them without Echo, and then Echo joins. Maybe you have more of them.
Yeah, no, I felt the same way. Because I was really curious, again, not choosing to refamiliarize myself with the animatics of, like, did the Bad Batch is in that great collection of so many characters of what happened to them. Probably not something great, but we never know. How did you feel about Echo actually joining in just kind of the emotions of that scene?
Really well played. You talked about the choice in his hands and head and heart. We talk often a lot here. I, you know, bring it up a lot of the Frodo type of, you know, once you go through something, we can go back. He clearly went through a lot of trauma, but it was such a positive move forward. It was bittersweet.
Yeah.
But for Rex to let him go, Rex trusting, that's right, for him to get that, again, emboldened by the trust and knowing that he is different inside and out and own who you are sometimes. No one can use it against you, but also you can grow from it. I really thought it was well played, that there was an open-ended recruitment.
Yeah.
And it was an open-ended do what you feel's right. And it really worked for me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's so many beats in this that I liked. I really liked that the thread of Obi-Wan not being big on politics or the sort of government of it all. So to have him go like, probably be some medals coming.
I don't know.
It's very, very Obi-Wan. Like, if you're into that sort of thing, it's a very funny line. But yeah, I love everything you're saying. I think that this theme of change in Star Wars, going back to Shmi saying, you know, you can't stop the change any more than you can stop the suns from setting. In seeing that as a healthy moment that Echo accepted that.
Yeah.
And that Rex encouraged that, because it seemed like Rex sensed that truth. And that shot of Rex, he looks really sad. He fought so hard to get his brother back.
Yeah.
And it's sad for himself that he has to let him go. But Rex, knowing change happens and this is where you will be happier. So I want you by my side, brother, but I need to let you go.
It's a very, again, I said up top, I focused a lot on the trust as it relates to Rex needing to give trust to Echo. I think that's a very powerful thing of in our lives sometimes. Hey, maybe it could be relationships, partnerships, business, whatever. Sometimes you have to let them go.
Yeah.
You have to. And that's a Star Wars giving you another little lesson. And it's Rex's point of view in that situation, too. It's very much Echo's. But yeah, very much like this sucks. But you have to.
Yeah. And then the great salute.
Yes.
Trust earned.
Loved
right
it.
There, going back and forth. All right. Any other characters, moments, planets, etc., that really grabbed you that you wanted to mention?
I put down Crosshair's big move. And then now I can't remember who said it. I just put down the quote. Help me. I wrote down the quote. I honestly feel bad for those droids.
I believe that was Hunter as Wrecker taking him out.
I thought it was really, I've been loving Wrecker the whole time. I love just his straight ahead, me bash things kind of mentality. It's how I battle technology every day. so I really, it just, the comedy Star Wars at its best always is going to have some comedy, even during the most tense situations.
Yes, I would like Wrecker to help me with my printer when it isn't working, for sure. He was extra funny, I think.
I'll get it to work!
Yeah.
Stealth, I hate that word!
And then when Crossfire does beat him,
yeah,
one is like,
aww, I get to blow it all up!
Yeah, and that thread was funny for Wrecker and extra different from Anakin when he's got that kind of jovial fun, like, yep, yeah, just took Trench out, felt great. Now I'm going to give this remote detonation button to Wrecker, and that's going to be fun and great. And
yeah,
he presents it like, hey, fellow buddy of destruction. Here's something to make your day.
The buddies of destruction.
arena tour coming to you soon. The only other little thing is there was something different about the actual explosion. Like, the explosion had a little bit of like a kind of rainbow. There was more colors in the explosion.
I did not see that. I'll have to go back and watch the colors of the explosion.
The colors of the explosion were extra beautiful.
The world of color and destruction.
We wrap up with our action figure question. If you could have a figure of any character from this episode, who do you want?
I want, I always hope I never step on your choice, but please. I want Trench with removable arms.
Battle damaged Trench with, you want Smoking Hole in center
smoking
of chest?
Smoking Hole. You can flip it like the old Battle Damage He-Man's.
You flip it, and little lever on their back and twitches.
Yeah.
That twitch was,
great.
So disturbing. I would love a.
Sorry, because you keep saying Walrus Man, and he's very much Walrus Man, but I also, base a lot on the spider. He kind of fell and, to me, shriveled up like a spider.
You're right. He is much more of a spider. So.
But he's got the face of a walrus man in the teeth. I mean, don't get me wrong. You're not wrong on that.
But spider is much more accurate. I apologize to people who are tearing their hair out at the walrus man comments. But yes, the death of Spider-Man. There we go. That's what we want. Echo as a part of Clone Force 99 with his armor, with the skull on it. So they already kind of, by the beginning of the episode, pre-accepted him.
Oh, that's great.
Would be great. I would love that. Or speechifying Mace Windu. Squeeze his legs and he does the whole conversation.
Love that.
The whole speech. I've slaughtered 100,000 of you. We always wrap up with the moral. What is the moral of this episode of the Clone Wars Report?
Oh, wow. I think trust, verify, and smash your way through it all.
Trust, verify, and smash. That's what we're going to be doing all week until the next episode of The Clone Wars Report.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Saving money on protecting your garden. Now at Menards. Messina's Animal Stopper is a liquid repellent that prevents pesky animals from damaging your garden. Available in a convenient, ready-to-use bottle. It lasts for up to 30 days, regardless of weather and watering. Save big money on Messina's Animal Stopper at Menards. And check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So, Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel. A pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us?
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.